We're watching stocks slide again today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. To a large extent, the stock market has become a numerical expression of ebbing and flowing concern about the COVID-19 coronavirus. After a stock market rally on Wall Street fizzled and turned mixed yesterday, Hong Kong and Shanghai indexes are up modestly today, but Europe is down hard. The FTSE index in London is down more than 2%. The DAX in Germany down 2.2%. Here's Andrew Walker, the economics correspondent for our editorial partner, the BBC.
Financial markets are going through a reassessment of the likely economic impact of the new virus beyond China. There's been a surge in cases in Italy, followed by some draconian restrictions on movement in and out of towns in the north of the country at the centre of the outbreak. Reports of infections in other European countries have provoked concerns that there will be further constraints imposed on the movement of people and goods. Companies with travel-related businesses were especially hit. They have to contend with official restrictions and customers choosing not to travel. The airline EasyJet, for example, which operates largely in Europe, saw a further sharp fall in its share price today, bringing the total decline this week to well over 25%.
Andrew, thank you. Right now, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here are all down between 7 and 9/10%. The benchmark 10-year U.S. interest rate is at an all-time low with money flowing into bonds. And on a bet that a slower world economy needs less oil, crude is down more than 2% in New York, $47.69 a barrel, the lowest since December 2018. Now, just looking through the long list of events canceled around the world because of concern about the virus, as collated by the business publication Quartz, Facebook's global marketing gathering in San Francisco was March 9th, but not anymore. The Milan Furniture Fair, the world's biggest, is postponing from April to June. The Dalai Lama is stopping ordination ceremonies and public events. Stormzy's tour through Asia is postponed. And there's news today every school in Japan will close from Monday through April 8th. Now to signs of economic dynamism in places sometimes the U.S. economy leaves behind. A new study from the Center for American Progress says some rural communities are seeing new energy, especially in what it calls graying America. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab reports.
Business is growing in rural graying America because there are more graying Americans. Benga Ajilore of the Center of American Progress led the study.
So a lot of it is population growth. And so areas that have a lot of population growth are going to see a lot more business dynamism.
The Census Bureau says almost a quarter of people 65 and older live in rural areas. Many are moving to rural places within reach of smaller cities, where they can still get what they need and for less. And though Florida is still a big place to retire, aging Americans are also moving to Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming, states that have revamped their image to bring in new residents.
They have a lot of nice natural amenities, places that are kind of pretty.
In rural areas, retirement benefits can make up more than 50% of local spending. Megan Lawson with Headwaters Economics calls that the mailbox economy.
Non-labor income really can be a tremendous support, particularly in rural places that maybe don't have a robust job market.
And that retiree spending means more healthcare, retail, and construction jobs that in turn bring younger residents in. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Now to Econ Extra Credit, where we revisit basic economics each week. A bunch of us are reading a free Econ 101 textbook, a chapter a week through April, from a project with the tagline, Teaching Economics Like the Last 20 Years Happened. This week, what economics tells us about all these hours we put in. Homa Zargami is a professor of economics at Barnard College, who teaches from this book and advises this core Econ project on curriculum. Welcome, Homa.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so the year was 1930. This legend among economists, Keynes, he makes this prediction, right, about how much time we're going to be working and how much time off we're going to have 100 years in the future. That's 2030. That is now 10 years from now. What does he predict?
He predicted that we would be working 15 hours a week. So we'd have a four-day weekend and a three-day work week, each day 5 hours.
You're working 15 hours a week, Homa?
I'm working 15 hours a day.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we're still working a lot. So what fuels this? Why was Keynes wrong about the declining work week?
So some of the theories go back to another seminal economist, Thorsten Veblen, who had coined the term conspicuous consumption, where it's not only your absolute level of, say, consumption or income that matters to you, but your relative standing in society. And particularly if you have the people at the top of the income distribution making more money, that those consumption patterns of theirs are then going to trickle down to everybody else and set the new standard for consumption.
So this keeping up with the Joneses has a serious effect. At the very least, it might be persuading many of us to keep our salary as high as possible by knocking ourselves out by working all these hours.
Yeah. And part of what I often think is a little misleading about just the notion of keeping up with the Joneses is that it seems really frivolous. It seems like it's all about just having a bigger car or having nicer clothes. But I think it's actually more than that. So what happens when you have the consumption patterns being set at the top is that prices are going to go up for everybody. I mean, you can see that in housing prices and in very rich cities like San Francisco. People get pushed out of that city.
Let's just think about wanting the best for our children. That often means good schools. And if you want a good public school, that means perhaps a better neighborhood. And the houses in that better neighborhood might be more expensive. And so you got to work the longer hours just to be sure that your kids have a decent future.
Right. It kind of shows up anywhere where the goods are so limited, like there's only so many houses in that nice neighborhood where the public schools are of high quality, that one has to compete in order to get in there.
Homa Zarghami is an economics professor at Barnard College. She advises the group that puts together this open source textbook. Homa, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Something else causing all the hours, the power of bosses versus workers. That's in our podcast if you miss it on the air. Econ Extra Credit, marketplace.org. And we are from APM, American Public Media.